Hello and welcome to another programme in the ongoing series Great Tracks and Sidetracks with me, Peter Fleming, broadcasting on 104.7 for Coast Access Radio from the studios here in Mahara Place in Waikanae. Usual sort of thing, as I say every week, usual thing, music from the 60s, 70s, 80s, perhaps a few more from the 60s this time. And then there's little bits and pieces from the International Express, if I can ever find any amusing good news from the UK these days. Anyway, first, I had the sad news this week, or late last week, that Neil Sedaka had passed away, or died, to be more specific. So I thought, let's have a quick tribute with Neil Sedaka. I've got a couple of tracks here, and the first one, Oh Carol, this must take you back to hops in the local village or something like that. In the olden days, well, towards the end of last year, when I used to broadcast this programme live from the studios, then it was opportune to talk about things that I'd done recently, and particularly if there was anything on local theatre or at the cinema, which you might appreciate me giving my comment on as to make you decide whether you want to go or not. Well, of course, with a recorded programme now, I'm 1 or 2 weeks behind hand, so it's not quite so apt to do. But this time I will mention, and it's not, you've probably missed it unless you want to start flying all over the country, but we went to see the Wellington Ballet, the National Ballet, on Friday night at the at St. James's Theatre there in Wellington, who put on a production of Macbeth. Now, you probably do the same as I did. If you haven't heard about this, you sort of stop and reflect and think, hang on a minute, ballet, Macbeth? No, that can't be right. Well, it is. And we were intrigued by how they would work it. And honestly, Well, they're always good, aren't they? The National Ballet here, they're always terrific. And if you saw Firebird, you know what I mean. And this production of Macbeth, absolutely inspired. It was fantastic. It was in modern-day dress, and so it was sort of using a lot of mobile phone-type things and spin doctors and focusing in on ambition, which, of course, is what Macbeth is all about, and his determination to get to the top, whatever. Fabulous production, beautiful music, some real pounding beats at time. Unfortunately, it was here for, I think, two or three nights, and it's gone now to other places around the country. So you probably have missed your chance to see it, but it was very, very good. So congratulations, National Ballet, on your production of Macbeth. And here's back to a second track from Neil Sedaka, because breaking up is hard to do.
Do 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 down do be do down down. Comma comma down do be do down down. Comma comma down do be do down down. Breaking up is hard to do. Don't take your love away from me. Don't you leave my heart in misery. If you go, then I'll be blue. 'Cause breaking up is hard to do. Remember when you held me tight and you kissed me all through the night. Think of all that we've been through, and breaking up is hard to do. They say that breaking up is hard to do. Now I know that it's true. Don't say that this is the end. Instead of breaking up, I wish that we were making up again. I beg of you, don't say goodbye. Can't we give our love another try? Come on, baby, let's start anew. 'Cause breaking up is hard to do.
Well, thanks, Neil. So off you go to that great recording studio in the sky, and perhaps we'll meet up with you and listen to you again sitting on a cloud somewhere up above. Now, I'm going to carry on with talking about things I've been to, which are too late for you to go to, but I will just mention it because I went to the Appetit show on Saturday. This is this last Saturday. It was the last day of February, so we're probably way past that now. Appetit, yes, up there towards Ty Happy and Blazers, just on the back road from Kim Bolton. Now, I went to this a few years ago with the MG Club, and there was an opportunity to go again this year. So a few of us jumped in our cars and we nipped up there. And Appetit Show, it's just one of these wonderful New Zealand things. It's just in a fairly small area, mainly centred on sheep shearing, and there was a bunch of international blokes there who were competing to be the best shearer and other people. And it was, I don't know, it's just a lovely community spirit there. And then there was terrier racing, and there was show jumping and things for more smaller children, I think, on horses. Oh, what else would they be riding? And yeah, what a lovely day out. So congratulations, Appetit. That was and please, New Zealand, keep these lovely country shows going.
Spaces, what are we living for? Abandoned places. I guess we know the score. On and on. Does anybody know what we are looking for? Another hero, another mindless crime behind the curtain in the pantomime. Hold the line. Does anybody want to take it anymore?
And back to the International Express. Now, Harry Styles, no, he's not a track or a person that we play on this programme very often. In fact, I don't think I've ever played him before. There's an article in the International Express here. Harry's on road to Wembley record. Harry Styles is set to play 12 concerts at the stadium. He'll make history by doing that. The former One Direction star will overtake Coldplay and Taylor Swift as the artist with the most performances in a single year at the London venue. Coldplay had the overall record with 10 Music of the Spheres tour shows last summer, while Taylor Swift's 8 nights on her 2024 Eras tour is the highest number by a solo act. Oasis racked up 7 appearances at the stadium last year as part of their Live 25 tour. Styles was initially due to play 6 shows at Wembley, but added 6 more due to massive demands for tickets. So there we are. I thought, having read that, obvious thing to do is play a Harry Styles track. So here we are. This is one of his number one hits, which is called Sign of the Times, and it's rather good.
Stop you crying, it's a sign of the times. Welcome to the final show. I hope you're wearing your best clothes. You can't bribe the door on your way to the sky. You look pretty good down here, but you ain't really good. We never learned, we've been here before. Why are we always stuck and running from the bullet? The bullet. We never learned, we've been here before. Why are we always stuck and running from your bullet? The bullet.
Harry Styles, and if you want to see him, you'll have to go to Wembley Stadium, and he's got 12 shows apparently coming up. Very good. And back to the International Express. Now then, if you, as I record this programme, it's just two or three days since America started bombarding Iran. I'm not going into that. We're not that sort of programme. But I'm just conscious that things might have changed considerably by the time you're listening to the programme. But anyway, despite the problems that are going on the other side of the world there, in the UK, there's a bit of a row about pork pies, so let's go to the swing over to the important things in life. Porky's row as baker denies recipe switch. Pork pie fans are embroiled in a bizarre row over their favourite treat, after accusing a bakery of changing its 107-year-old recipe. Customers said they had recently noticed a huge decline in the standard of pork pies being produced by the Bird's Bakery chain. Enthusiasts have now accused the company of telling Porky's after it hit back to claim the recipe had not changed since 1919. Well, customers took to social media over the festive period and they claim there's been a clear decline in quality due to poor flavour, too thick pastry and not enough jelly. Mick Dowd, who's 65, bought one from Chadderton Darby's on January the 10th, but binned it after a few bites. The dad of three said, "I cut into it and there was no flavour, no jelly. It was pink. It's a shame that it has changed so much because I've always been a passionate pork pie lover." Well, not surprisingly, Managing Director Jamie Bird of the Bird Bakery Company said, "We'd like to reassure our customers that our recipe or product hasn't changed." Oh dear, well, better watch this space. That's bad news when pork pies are in the news like that.
Never have sunlight on your face.
I think we're always intrigued, aren't we, by what the future might hold for us. And there's an article, a big article here in the paper, and it starts off, "Remember when we thought the future would mean wearing Baco foil suits and driving to work in a Jetson-style aero car? Well, the 21st century didn't quite turn out how popularly it was forecast at the time. But now leading futurologist and author Tom Cheesewright, who advises companies on how to plan and prepare for the future, has predicted the top 10 scientific and technological breakthroughs you can expect to see by 2050. So not that far away. So I'll run through these fairly quickly. Space elevator. Now, this is the idea that instead of using rocket ships to get up to the moon and places like that, you actually have an elevator. Well, it's hard to understand quite how anything like that would be constructed. But he said every space agency in the world is currently trying to work out how to build an elevator to space and what could be used for the cables. Brackets, graphene and carbon nanotubes, apparently. Well, okay, that's mind boggles on that one. Right, next, bioprinted organs. Well, that's self-explanatory if it works. Personal AI as a health coach. Moving on from your smartwatches, I suppose. Android and robot roommates. Well, we've got our Roomba and I, Vera the vacuum. And she's a good friend. I chat to her as she busies about the house vacuuming. Smart glasses instead of smart screens. And this in the next 25 years, smart glasses will become the dominant tool used for seeing and communicating with the world around us. Moving on. Flat screen TVs as thin as paper. Wow. Lab-grown meat. Well, yes, I think we're aware that that's moving along apace at the moment. As are insects and alternative grains on the menu. Well, I know we get programs talking about it, but who knows? Apparently you might have to eat insects sometime. They're very good for you. Next, deception studies and virtual field trips. Media literacy will become a core subject. Deception studies will teach students to spot AI-generated fakes and deepfakes, building resilience, analytical skill, and ethical awareness. The aim is to restore the ability to identify truth, not just to fuel skepticism. Have a word with Mr. Trump about that one. Right, and finally, smarter money automation. We're sort of coming across all sorts of things on that. Again, at the moment, aren't we? Different sorts of cards and that. So, well, there we are. That's what things could be like in 2050. So it's not Baco foil suits, not Jetson-style cars, but all sorts of other things, many associated with sort of spin-offs from AI, maybe.
It's been days since you took your love away. I go out every night and sleep all day since you took your love away. Since you've been gone, like
Sinead O'Connor there, Nothing Compares. Now, a favourite sort of subject on this programme because of the sort of generation that I come from, and probably, if anybody's listening, the generation that is likely to be listening, it's the golden age of television. And if anybody's expert on it, well, we are, aren't we? The boomers. So here, our article here, the golden year for British television. The golden age of TV was 1976, when families gawked together to watch Fawlty Towers, Dad's Army and The Morecambe and Wise Show. That year also saw classics such as The Good Life, Porridge and Rising Damp. Other favourites were Rainbow, Blue Peter, did he bring bells to you? Blue Peter, The Goodies, Last of the Summer Wine, Man About the House, Call My Bluff, Come Dancing, Dixon of Dock Green, The Fall and Rise of Reginald Perrin, and The Good Old Days. Now, Call My Bluff, hasn't that sort of been replaced by Would I Lie To You? It's a similar sort of thing, isn't it? Shows from the 1970s feature in the top 100 all-time favourite TV programmes compiled by viewers aged over 55. Note that, the age limit, over 55. Here's some more names to remind you of what we used to watch. Only Fools and Horses, Dad's Army, Blackadder, Call the Midwife. Well, of course, that's still going. Doc Martin, Inspector Morse. Now, that was fabulous, wasn't it? The Good Life, Death in Paradise, and Allo, Allo. Did I mention Frost anywhere? Because that was a fantastic series there. Anyway, coming to that a little bit. The nation's most memorable TV character was John Cleese as Basil Fawlty, and he just beat David Jason's Del Boy Trotter. Ronnie Barker's Fletcher from Porridge, which ran from 1974 to 1977, was third, with Keeping Up Appearances, Hyacinth Bouquet, fourth, and One Foot in the Graves, Victor Meldrew, fifth. There you go, it's fascinating, isn't it? Interesting, at the end here, it said more than three quarters of the people who answered to the poll believed writing and storytelling was stronger in the golden decade of the 1970s. Two in five disliked modern soaps, while reality TV was the biggest turn-off, with nearly three in five calling it their least favourite genre. So it would be interesting to run the same sort of thing across the under-55s, wouldn't it? Ooh, see what they're watching, weren't they? But I agree with that list there. There's some very, very good entertainment series in there. And no effing and blinding, which is always one thing I keep on about. Right, back to some music. It's R.E.M.
When your day is long and the night is yours alone, when you're sure you've had enough of this life, hang on. Don't let yourself go. Everything is wrong. Now it's time to sing along. When your day is night, hold on. Hold on. If you feel like letting go, if you think you've had too much. Life. Well, hang on.
Here's another good subject for this programme. Although I'm not a grandparent myself, I'm sure a lot of listeners are. And so here, a grandparent's brain boost. Being a grandparent is good for your brain and may stave off a decline in thinking skills and memory, the research says. A study found those who cared for grandchildren show better cognitive functioning than those who didn't. Grannies, in particular, showed a slowing in cognitive decline. This was found by the English Longitudinal Study of Aging, and it's published in the journal Psychology and Aging. There, the English Longitudinal Study of Aging. The study found that grandparents aged 50 plus who gave childcare scored higher on tests of both memory and verbal fluency compared with those who did not, regardless of the amount of care. So there we are. You're not just putting up the grandkids and caring for them. You're actually improving your sort of mental well-being and things like that. That's jolly interesting, isn't it? There's a little bit of a reward for you. And talking of rewards, here's Gary Moore, who's still got the blues. It's just too good, this. It has to be played on a regular basis.
Used to be so easy to give my heart away, but I found out the hard way there's a price you have to pay. I found out that love was no friend of mine. I should have known. Time after time. I've still got the blues for you. Used to be so easy to fall in love again, but I found out the hard way it's a road that leads to pain. More than just a game, playing to win, but you lose just the same. So long, it was so long ago, but I still got the blues for you.
And moving on from grandparents, we go to dog and cat owners. I think with grandparents, dog, cat owners probably covered most of the demographics of people who listen to this program. Anyway, for animal lovers, it's all over for Rover. Traditional dog names are dying out, with just 4 Rovers and 2 Fidos registered by a leading insurer in 2025. Only 1 Lassie and 3 Nashers came onto the books of Petgevity last year. And it was a similar story with old-fashioned cat names. Just 11 Moggies called Tabby and 5 Spots were registered last year. Meanwhile, Luna, Poppy and Bella were among the top 10 most popular names for both cats and dogs. So here we are. This is what you've been waiting for. Sit back and stand by. Get a pencil and paper, because the top 10 dog names of 2025... Ta-da. 1, Poppy. 2, Luna. 3, Willow. 4, Mabel. 5, Bella. 6, Bonnie. 7, Teddy. 8, Winnie. 9, Milo. And 10, Daisy. So if you want to be trendy, then you've got to pick one of those names for your dog. You heard it here on Coast Access Radio on Great Tracks and Sidetracks.
Let's go! Steve walks slowly down the street with the brim pool way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound of his feet. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip to the sound of the beat, yeah. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone, and another one gone. Another one bites the dust, yeah. Hey, we're gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust. Bites the dust.
And there we are, a very appropriate track from Queen. Another one bites the dust as our programme comes to an end yet again. The 60 minutes of super music, and I hope you agree, some rather interesting bits and pieces from the UK. Right, this coming weekend I'm off. It's the MG Car Club again, and we have an annual festival, as we call it, up at Mangaweka. And there's the Awaston sort of outdoor activities centre there. We base ourselves there, and there's usually about 25, and we all go in MGFs, if you know what they are, the little two-seaters. And there's usually about 25 to 30 cars turn up, and we have a rather nice weekend, and whatever you think, we're just another bunch of innocent enthusiasts. So I'll tell you a little bit about that perhaps next week. Otherwise, nothing much going on this week. And we keep our fingers crossed that the world is still all in one piece next time I'm on the air with you. So until then, this is Peter Fleming saying take care of yourselves and don't be put down too much by the news at the moment. I'm sure we'll all survive. Bye for now.
This programme was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the Access Media website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.